in the way of Agdama, as we like to point out, b'meshech the last few weeks, the various Rishonim that bring down the Chovos Avodos, which gives us actually, there's a twofold benefit to that, in addition to just bringing out the reverence of Rishonim, talking about Gedolei Yisrael, not Mamish contemporaries, because again, the Chovos Avodos was very early. Chovos Avodos was in the earliest part of the 11th century. So you're talking the 1000s, it's quite early, before the Rambam and so on. But nevertheless, the Rishonim, you know, which is in the Tekufis afterwards, Balei Tosfos and so on, and we point out Rabbeinu Tam among them, who bring down the Chovos Avodos and talk about him. And also we have an opportunity maybe to bring out certain personalities that are Rishonim, but they are not one of the most, if we can use the word, the most popular Rishonim, and maybe some of us have never even heard of them, and yet they were Rishonim. And of course, when you talk about a Rishon, let's say Im Rishonim Kemalochim, we're talking about the greatest of the greats, and to have a little bit of an insight of who they were themselves. And we're bringing these particular names because they do have a shaychus with the Chovos Avodos. A particular personality that brings down the Chovos Avodos is a personality by the name of Rabbeinu Menachem ben Zerach, Mechaber of the Sefer Tzedek LaDorech. Mechaber of the Sefer called Tzedek LaDorech. We know what Tzedek LaDorech usually is used for, but that's the Sefer in Halacha. Rabbeinu Menachem ben Zerach was born in France. And later on he moved to Spain. As a matter of fact, he was nifter in Spain. We're talking about a person who was born in 1310 and was nifter around 1385. So again, quite early. He was the Talmud of the son of the Rosh. The Rosh, of course, we all know the Rosh. Rosh had a number of sons. Probably the most famous would be the Balaturim, the most famous son of the Rosh. Again, the Rosh lived later part of his life was in Toledo, was in Spain, because he had fled from Germany. The same thing, the Balaturim, his son, also lived in Toledo, and it was Mamalamokim after the Rosh was Nifter. And also the other son of the Rosh, among others, was Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Arosh. We have Shalsi Chuvis, Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Arosh, the son of the Rosh. So Rabbeinu Menachem ben Zerach was a Talmud, among others, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda ben Arosh. And this Rabbeinu Menachem, as we pointed out, he was born in France, but you just have an idea about the anti-Semitism that took place in every tkufa. And because of anti-Semitism, there was an outbreak in 1328, so the whole Jewish population of that area, personally, that they were massacred. Mamish, literally, they were massacred, and therefore Rabbeinu Menachem's parents and also four younger brothers were also among the martyrs. He himself was saved. I'll give you the lesson that he himself writes. He lost his parents, who were killed, murdered, and four younger brothers. And the Maisa, he was not completely, maybe, I mean, he was alive, Baruch Hashem, but he did not just go without a scrape. He writes that he was seriously wounded at the same time. It was Nes Min HaShemayim that he did not die as his parents did and also his brothers. And he writes there that he was seriously wounded and he lay among the dead. That he said he lay among the dead, unable to move. And he said, again, Kodesh Baruch Hu has his ways, that a knight who was a friend of his father found him, brought him to his home, and nursed him back to health. This is his own words. He writes in the Hakdama of his Sefer, Rabbeinu Menachem ben Zerach. And after regaining his strength, Rabbeinu Menachem, he moves to Spain, he moves to Toledo, and of course he dedicates himself to studying Torah, and he becomes a great Marbitz Torah. And it is there that we pointed out that he becomes a Talmud of Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Arosh. Because Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Arosh, they lived in Spain, lived there in Toledo as well. It's just interesting to point out that even in Toledo, or prior to actually going to Toledo, was another part of Spain. Take the year 1350 and so on, those Tkufis. There was a civil war which broke out, and he loses all of his belongings along with his position, and Mamish, he was left destitute. So there was, interesting, we all know about the Barbanel, but there were really two Barbanels. The famous Barbanel is Don Yitzchak Barbanel, that's the famous Barbanel. Of course, it was the finance minister in Spain, you know, King Ferdinand and so on, at the time of the expulsion. He himself was one of those, although he was given the privilege, had he wanted to stay, he could have stayed, but he said, he writes himself, he said, I will not stay, he says, if all my Jewish brothers and sisters, that they either have been killed, because they refused to convert and have been expelled. He says, I will not stay here. And he went along with them together. He went to Portugal and so on, all the places. Also lived in Venice later on. And I believe his cave is, believe it or not, is in the city of the Ramchal in Padua, but nobody knows where. But that's the Masoira. But the cave of the Barbanel is in Italy. It's in Padua. But there was another Barbanel. Don Shmuel Barbanel. Not the famous one that we know about, but a person of great influence, a great person. And he was the one that actually secured the position of Rabbonus in Toledo to Rabbeinu Menachem ben Zerach. And as a result of that, he was able to sit and learn, and he published, or actually wrote the Sefer called Seder L'Derech, which was published for the first time in 1554. Al-Koponim, so this is Rabbeinu Menachem ben Zerach. So I'll just quote you some of the Lashonis that he writes regarding the Chovas Avodas. That's why we're discussing him, Rabbeinu Menachem ben Zerach. Maybe just let you say, I have here some words, where he writes, Ani Menachem. Melodity, he says, Beres Navarro, he writes. He says his father was interesting, before his father was massacred, was also once driven out of France, he says. Memegurosh Sarfas, he says. He says, at the age of 14, he married. Ben Menachem ben Zerach, he writes. He married at the age of 14 and writes, he married a woman, a daughter of Rabbeinu Binyamin Avitz, he writes. And in 1328, he says, the king of France dies. Vayakumu kol ame ha'oretz, he says, vayatzoi lahashmid laharoig, he says, v'la'abedis kol ha'yehudim. Mamish. That was the massacre that we're talking about. And he writes, you know how many Yidden died? He went that whole area, kisheshes alofim Yehudim. 6,000 Jews, v'adoini ovi moiri, v'imi moirosi, v'arba achim kitanim imene, younger brothers, nehergu, he says, al yichud Hashem, Hashem in kondomam. Ani, I was spared Levadi, Mibesovi, the only one. But he says I was Nigva Umukar, Umeune, he says, because he says, Kichof Hei Rishoim, 25 Rishoim, he says, beat me. Kichof Hei Rishoim, he says, Hikuni Pitsauni, they hit me, they wounded me. Proisi Mutal Orum, I was lying naked, Bein Hamesim, Mibein Arbaim, he says, At Chatzois Laila, Bechof Gimel Odor, he says. And Bechatzois Laila, he says, that night, he says, as we pointed out before, one of his father's friends who had come by, Poshet saved his life and so on. And he writes, Ani Nesati Reikom, he says, Mamash was left with nothing. That he writes even later again, we point out he was left destitute, Kishalalti, I was robbed and I was hit, and he says, and I was wounded. But in Nishali, Mikol Amoli, Bilti, he says, some sforum he had. And they were Lamesh of Nefesh, he says, that is what kept my soul alive and so on. And as we said, he became the Rav in Toledo, and he wrote the Sefer, he said, Seder L'Derech. Now, interesting, he writes the Sefer, Seder L'Derech, and he made a Kitzur Chovas Avodas. Ben Menachem ben Zerach makes a Kitzur Chovas Avodas, and he writes at the end of Perek Chamishi, he writes a small Agdoma. Uchvar Yo'adati, he says, I committed myself. Uchvar Yo'adati, he says, Lichtov Proki Midarki Atshuva, Vavidis Hashem, Baseres Yimitshuva. For he says, Likatze Medivrei Baal Chovas Avodas. And I found that it would be very beneficial to Mikatsa from the Sefer of Chovas Avodas, Mikol HaAsor HaShoharim, to take out excerpts from the 10 gates. Chovas Avodas says Asor HaShoharim, and he would correspond that to the Seder Shemitshuva, to learn a kitzur each day of a Seder Shemitshuva, to learn a different shah of the Chovas Avodas. He writes, She'ese kitzur shah echo l'chol yoyim, miyemei aser shemitshuva. Ke'ein komoysom, because no other Sefer like that, he writes, Ke'ein komoysom b'chol achiburim lahazkir avodas Hashem Baruch Hu. And so on and so forth. So that's a little bit of another, say, great personality that sort of like has been lost by many. And the Gedolei Torah know about that. But the general, even Talmidei Chachamim, are not so much aware of a personality called Rabbeinu Menachem ben Zerach and the Mechaber of the Sefer, again, Sefer Oder. Sefer Oder is a Sefer on Halacha. But we'd like to take a look, Rabbi Zayt. Let's take a look at the sheet, Rabbi Zag Domer. Also another Indian I'm talking before you get into the Choyvus Alvovus. And this is from the Sefer Mechasosha, the Grades, Ishtikal Maimer. Actually, we have discussed in the past a little bit, but he brings it down in the Masudavig way from Rabosha Weiss. And this is based upon, once in a Chumash actually, Chazal say, and we're quite familiar with the memory, the Chazal say that Kol HaSoymech Ge'ulah L'Tfilah, the person, Yisoymech means there's no hefsik. When you say Gual Yisoyel, and it's followed immediately by davening, you say Baruch Hashem Gual Yisoyel, and we daven. You're not mafsik, you don't speak out, there's no hafsokis, it's a Ben Olam Habo. And the Rishonim, in this case Rabbi Yoyin already discusses, why should that be such a big deal? Okay, it's a halacha. But of all halachas to pick out this Indian, if this person is Soymech Gula L'Tfila, he's a Ben Olam Habo. That's all it takes? So I guess most Yidin who daven is Soymech Gula L'Tfila. So all of us, you just guaranteed already, just like that. So you're a Ben Olam Habo. You're not mafsik. You say, go, you saw, and you daven Shem Neser right away. As a matter of fact, we know how important it is, because it goes to the extent, some halachas in the Poskim, Shulchan Aruch, as a matter of fact, can you even say Amen? Therefore, you know, there are some who say, Baruch Hashem Gol Yisrael, they would answer Amen. And then there are other opinions that they're not, and therefore you have in some shul, they said quietly. Why say quietly? Not to get into the Shaila, because the Baal Tefillah would say it loud. So they say it loud, now what do? Do I say Amen or not? Well, it depends. How do you pass it? So unless you have a clear psak, in some shuls they say it loud. It's like you say it loud. Some shuls hasn't got to do with the Minhagei Shul. What about Tefillah? Does the way he does it. The way he saw it. But it doesn't follow any particular, you know, structure. But that's the Nekudah. The Nekudah of the Goyal Yisrael. But the idea of saying it quietly is based upon the fact that because there's the Shaila, the question of even if an Amen is called a Hefsik or not. Because after all, Chazal say, you have to be so Magula Tefillah. So, what is the godless of being Soymech Ge'ulah L'Tfilah? So Ben Yoyne says in his second pshat, if you take a look here on top, let's take a look here, number one, right here. V'adir Hashenish Rabbeinu Yoyne. Rabbeinu Yoyne in his second explanation to explain what is the cheshivas of connecting, right, of connecting, and following immediately, after Gaul Yisrael, to follow immediately into Tfilah, into Shemoneh Esrei. Rabbeinu points out, Hatam l'schar ha-godol, shemikabel ha-soymech, gulu l'tfilah, the reason that there's such a great schar, such a great reward, for someone who is soymech, who brings them close together, gulu l'tfilah, mipnei shekishemazkir gulas Mitzrayim, because what's Gaul Yisrael? Gaul Yisrael is talking about gulas Mitzrayim. Right? Everything. Yeah, but he's starting out from the Muno Kalzois or with the Emes V'yatsiv, Ezra Saviseinu, this is all Gula Richter, this is all one. So the whole Hemshech Advoim all talks about Gula's Mitzrayim. Now, when a person talks about it, because Baruch Hu taking us out of Mitzrayim, and after mentioning Gula's Mitzrayim, he dumbs. That's what's happening. Gula Yisrael talks about it, because Baruch Hu taking us out of Mitzrayim, and then comes Tfilah. So what does that mean? So if he does miyad hu mare, what he is showing, shebeteach b'Hashem, b'tfilah, he's showing that he's trusting Hashem because he's davening, meaning is he's davening, he's petitioning that Hashem should give him that which he needs, let's understand, kim shemevakesh memeno tzurocho, because he's asking from Hashem to give him that what he needs. Which means to say is as follows, that Yitzis Mitzrayim hu ha-yisoyt shel emunah, u'mivchan shel emunah hu ha-bitochen. So we're saying is like this. Yitzis Mitzrayim is the foundation of emunah. But if I'm going to ask you how strong you believe, how strong? We already pointed out many times, emunah has many, many madrigas. As a matter of fact, the emunah of a tzaddik is on such a high level that the emunah of a stamid, legaba tzaddik, that doesn't consider that to be emunah. Doesn't consider that to be emunah. As a matter of fact, we mentioned in one of the drushes, I believe it was maybe the second night of Pesach, possibly. It says, Vayiru Omes Hashem. They feared Hashem when they saw all the nisim of Kriyas Yamsuf. Vayaminu b'Hashem v'shavdoi. The question was, is it only now that they came to emunah? The Pasuk says already in Parsha Shemoyah, it says, Vayamein hom. So that the people believed. For Shapotik, Potik says in Pasha Shemoyah, Vayamein hom, that they believed. So what does it mean that later, Vayiru Omes Hashem, Vayar Yisrael Tzeragdoilos Hashem Yisrael, Vayiru Omes Hashem, Vayamiru Hashem Hashemdoi. So now they believed. They already believed before. And then on the other side, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Heim b'nei sol esham u'alai, we find the Heim lo yaminu li. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu was indicting them that they do not believe. The Kibroch was upset with that. So do they believe or do they not believe? And the answer is at different levels of belief. There's different levels of belief. There's a level of belief, which is one level, which means to say is, that I believe such and such is going to happen. I believe. There's a madrega of belief that a person believes so strong, it's as if he saw it. Which, to use a phrase, is, it is seeing through believing. That's a madrega. Seeing, to believe through seeing is not a big deal. You don't have to believe, that's called believing. I see it. But there's a bechina called seeing through believing. That a person's belief is so strong, it's here he has it. It's here he has it. So Mavela, that was a madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, we pointed out, it says, by Melchemes HaMolech, it says, V'hi yodov emunah. What it means, his hands were emunah. Belief is in the head, it's not in the hands. What does it mean, V'hi yodov emunah? Tells it like this. If you have something in your hand, you don't have to believe you're going to get it. You have it already. Something that you don't have in your hand, there you need a munah, you're going to get it. But Moshe Rabbeinu, his munah was so strong as if he had it. V'hi yodov emunah. His munah was such a level, it's as good as he has it in his hand. A regular person, whose munah is not that strong, believes he's going to get it. Moshe Rabbeinu was V'hi yodov emunah. His munah was so strong that what, as if he had it in his hand already. That's a madrega. That madrega only even came after Kriyas Yamsuf, to that kind of a madrega. That the belief is so strong as if they are actually seeing. Akoponim, there's different levels in Amunah. So if I want to ask you, and you want to test yourself, how strong is your level of Amunah? You want to test it. The test of how strong your Amunah is, how much your Betochen is. Because you could be a Mamin, and you're not a Beteach. Remember we pointed out from the Ramban already, a number of times. A Beteach, somebody who trusts in Hashem, certainly is a Mamin. Because how are you trusting in Hashem if you don't believe? So of course, a Beteach says Ramban, the Hechrech means, certainly he's a Mamin. But not every Mamin is a Beteach. You can see that as we say everybody. Every Yid here, right, considers himself to be a Mamin. I mean, we are Mamin in Bashem. Yet Chaz V'Shalom is a Tzor. Right? If a Tzor comes, we're confronted with a Tzor, do we really have the talking, it's okay, and we feel secure? Lav davke, lav davke. We have a certain amount of worry, a certain amount of tension. No? We are maminim on the one hand, but betochen.
The betochen. What we have to do in order to
That's a high level of amunah. That's a high level of amunah. That's a high level of amunah. We're going to see about that now. So you see, the amunah is tested by your betochen, as he pointed out over here. The lotion is here. Umibchan hu amunah hu abitochen. The mibchan, the test, to see the level of the amunah. Is the Bitochen. So now, Yitzis Mitzrayim is Amunah. So how do we know how strong your Amunah is in Yitzis Mitzrayim, you know? Because after, when you say Gol Yisoil, which is supposed to be Amunah, you go in and you daven, you say, Slachlonu, Refa'enu, you're going to give me the Refu'ah, Baruch Alein, you're going to be the Bracha. The fact that you turn to Hashem, that means that you have your Bitochen to Hashem. So it means that the Yitzis Mitzrayim brought you to a level of Bitochen, hopefully to a high level of Bitochen. That's the inyan of Smichas Gula, it's not just saying words. So yeah, you daven, you said Go Yisrael, and then you're davening. Everybody davens Baruch Hashem. The question is, are you really davening? The idea of Smichas Gula L'Tfil is that the Emunah in Go Yisrael, in Gula Mitzrayim, should bring you to the firm belief that what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that really gives you all your tzorachim. And that is demonstrated because you're being dispelled right after. Tumay being Sato Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's in the quiz. Let's take a look inside. We see it a little better. Let's take it now. He said, points out, Umar bein emunah lebitochen. He said, what's the difference between emunah and bitochen? Now, the Sefer says, al emunah bitochen, he said, lachazonish, zuchusa yogan aleinu. We find, matzono yesoides bein abitochen. For the chazonish, we find certain yesoides, what it means, what the talk means, ubahavonas devarav yesh tos shigura bepi hahamoyim. And in understanding the chazon means, there is also a mistaken understanding in the general people who look through these words of the chazonish, have a mistaken, and we already mentioned it, what is on the surface appears to be the opinion of the chazonish, and here we're going to see a little bit of a twist. What he's saying is that in the eyes of the hamoinam is shigura, which is a misunderstanding what the chazonish is saying. That is the Torah's gedoyle. In other words, the common understanding is as follows: that there is a machloikis in terms of what betochen exactly is supposed to be. Yesh machloikis, yesh achoishvin, yesh machloikis ben chazonish ugedoyle chasidus. And that's truly the general understanding is that way. That there is a machlokes between the Chazonish and the Gedolei Chasidus in interpreting what it is about. Mahu malas habitochen v'gidro. What is the mile of bitochen, right? And what is the gedro of bitochen? On the one hand, we have the Sifra Chasidus. On the one hand, we have in the Sifra Chasidus we find, and that is the Sefer Toldos Yankiv Yosef, for example, in Parshas Mikates. Toldos Yankiv Yosef was the town of the Baal Shem Tov, where consistently he keeps quoting Shemati Mifi Moiri, Shemati Mifi Moiri, Shemati Mifi Moiri. A lot of the Torahs of Baal Shem, Shem Tov didn't write his Torah, but yet all the whole world of Chasidus came out from him, because so the source of his teachings come through his Talmidim. The source of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov come through the Talmid of Baal Shem Tov. Of course, the successor was the Magid, the Rebbe Beir of Mezrich, and of course, and then the thousands of Talmidim of the Magid and so on, and Talmidim Talmidot and so on. But the source comes from the Baal Shem Tov, and the Sefer Torah of Yankiv Yosef, as we say, brings down many of the Torahs of Baal Shem Tovs in writing. He writes it down, and he says, "Move ala posik." The Torah brings down on the posik in Tehillim, "Vabriteach b'Hashem Chesed Yisoy Vavenu." Well-known posik. Persons of Vabriteach b'Hashem, a person who trusts in Hashem, Chesed Yisoy Vavenu, is surrounded by Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bestow Chesed upon him. Which means she'odom she'vriteach b'Hashem bitochen mushlam. A person really has a shleim as a bitochen. A person really trusts in Hashem fully. So malachei mailo. So you have angels from Shemayim, Shemrim Olav, Bechol Tza'ad V'shal. They protect them every step of the way. Bechol HaMazikim Shiboylam Einim Yecholim LaHazikoy. And there's no mazik in the world, there's nothing in the world that really is able to hurt him if he's really strong. If you're really, that's the high level of Bitochim. V'ayin B'Keser Shem Tov Mabal Shem Tov. There's also a sefer called Keser Shem Tov, which is beautifully reprinted many years ago, like from Chabad, edition of the Keser Shem Tov, of the Baal Shem Tov. And the Sefer Keser Shem Tov says the following: Mish Yesh L'midus HaBitochen B'Hashem Yisborach. Somebody who has the midah B'Tochen HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'emes, in truth, an emes digi B'Tochen, afil migzer olav chaz v'sholom kam migzeres royes, he efshel l'midus HaDin, he said lishloit olav. His HaDin has no power over him. That is the koyach HaBitochen. And he says there, v'hu boduk. Boduk means something that's been tested. It's proven. V'hu boduk. Like we say, boduk menusa. And he says further, v'be'em ez dovrezeh mevurim bekosuf. Truth is that this Yisrael is found in the Pasuk in Tehillim. Pasuk in Tehillim says, Shir Amalois, Haboitchim Bashem. Those who are b'teyam Bashem, kehar tzion. Like har tzion, which means like the Har Maria on Yerushalayim. What does it say about that? It says like Yerushalayim, Hatzia, and Lo Yimoit will never falter, will always remain. In other words, this will survive all the tsaros, Sheikh will come, and that this will always be, will always remain. It will never falter. Habaytchem Hashem, it will be like this, it's eternal. Eternal. So Habaytchem Hashem, Hatzia, and Lo Yimoit will never falter, no slipping, Lo Lom Yeshev. Now, This is the understanding. This is why it's written in Sefer Chasidus. So if a person who is a true Baal Bitochen, so there's no mazik in the world that can be shaylik on him. Nothing can hurt him. Nothing can do anything to harm him. On the other hand, the Chazanish seems to say otherwise. On Mah Chazanish b'Sifrei, the Chazanish in his Sefer Kosav, Shekishodom, he says Oymed Beis Torah. Chazanish says if a person is standing, finds himself in an Eis Torah, in a time of a sorrow, of a calamity, Vayman, he says, Hashem Yazor, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. V'betuach, Shlo Ye'un Eloi Kol Ro, Toyehu. According to Chazanish, it seems, Chazanish is saying, the Betochen does not mean that you're guaranteed that nothing is going to happen to you, even if you're the greatest Baal Betochen. That's a mistake. Why? Because Chazanish supposedly is saying like this, Ki Mehechen HaBetochen Shehashem Yazor. Because on what basis can you feel secure Hashem is going to help? Yesh Dayin, Yesh Din. So how do you know maybe you don't deserve it at all? So how can a person say, I'm B'teach, a person is in a sorrow, I'm B'teach, Hashem is going to help? How do you know? Maybe this judgment is Shemayim against you. There's a reason why things happen. So how can you say, I'm so B'teach, it's not going to happen? He said, because after all, Yesh Din, Yesh Dayin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizeh L'chol Echot. Depending on what the situation is. A man should really be trembling and hope ulay yochus am oni ve'evyan ulay rachim. The most you could say is possibly I'll be zoicha to rachmin. The eichef sheli is betuach, but how can you be certain? In other words, l'shitas hachazaynish bitochen ze bitochen is the halacha l'maisa shel emunah, because emunah itself is a theory, is abstract. I believe, but what's the l'maisa? So what do you do l'maisa? I believe. So it's an abstract thing in your mind. It's a theory. When does the theory turn into something practical? It's what attitude you have when you are challenged. That's the bitochen. The bitochen is the halacha l'maisa, is the practicality of emunah, which, right, which in itself is a philosophy. Emunah itself is a philosophy. It's a state of mind. I believe, and therefore, what? How does it come into play in your daily life in terms of living your life? Well, when you're confronted with a challenge, depending on how much bitachon you have, that's implementing, putting your emunah into work. That's putting him into work, which means, he says, the bitachon is the halacha l'maisa, is the practical side of the emunah. Ki hu emunah itself is rayan mufshat. When it's all emunah, I believe. Slicked in coffin, what is this, right? It's in his head. No? So it's an abstract concept. The bitachon is hamufchen shel emunah. But bitachon, your reaction, how you respond to situations, that's the mifchen, that's the test of the emunah. She'odam yakir. So what does bitachon say? Bitachon means that no matter how the tzar is, a person has to believe that there's a possibility, said the Chazanish, that you may be saved. Because Hashem is the Kol Yochel. But to be certain, the Chazanish, it can't be. Cannot be certain. But you have to have bitachon that there is always a possibility. That's the bitachon. In other words, bitachon tells us, that even you have a sharp sword. It's a sharp sword. The sword is already on your throat. It seems imminent. Your life is over. No. Chazal say, Al yimna atzlo min arachmim. Person should nevertheless still not stop from davening, from being mevakesh rachmim. Because why? Because maybe, the last minute. Maybe the last minute you'll be saved. Bitochen mevatel is muslik hasviris. Now, bitochen takes away the logic of the situation. According to logic, right, the noose is around his neck. The sword is on his throat. According to logic, there's no chance. Bitochen says, throw the logic away. There is a chance. But to be certain, Chazonish seems to be saying the way the normal understanding is, no, you can't be certain. And we say, in other words, Nafili Goises, even some is already a Goises, he's already a Maribond, right? He's already married. He says, but where do you get the idea that Bitochen Shekadosh Baruch Hu Ochein Yazor Imein Odom Roy Lekach? How do you get that? That's the common understanding. Because they said that a person cannot feel secure b'terizvada in any level. That bitachon means, I bitachon Hashem will help me. No, bitachon means, I believe and have confidence that Hashem can help me and might help me, no matter what the situation is. Possibility. So, the Sefer here, Minchas Hoshe suggests and says, on these dati ein machloikis b'yisoidin yezeh. He says, no. Which seems to be Zamachloikis, because according to Sifri Chassidus, it says, yeah, the person is about Bitochen, Midas Adin cannot be shoyl with Olaf. That seems to be not like the Chazanish. The first opinion seems to say, the person has Bitochen that no Mazik Shibor, nothing can hurt it. So he points out and suggests, on his dati, Ein Machloikis be Yisodin Yezeh, Dori Machloikis, Ki Agoyin Reb Chaim Veloshin. We added in one of the few Shurim away. We know the famous theory of Reb Chaim Veloshin, the Talmud of the Goyin. Reb Chaim Veloshin writes in Nefesh HaChaim. These are immortal words, and this is, by the way, something that everybody should try to work on. There are people who put out stickers, by the way, of this Einoid Milvadoi theory, you know, of Reb Chaim Veloshin. They have it always on your side, no matter what. So when you find yourself in a tzara, look at that little sticker, Einoid Milvadoi. There's no one besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the more that you really carve that into your mind, Reb Chaim Veloshin says, you'll see that you'll be fine and you'll be spared, and this will serve as a tremendous shmir on you. Let's take a look here. Reb Chaim Veloshin writes the following words. Inyan Godel is Gula Niflo. This is the words of Reb Chaim Veloshin. And Inyan Godel says, an amazing segula. It's an amazing segula. An amazing segula, he says, Lehesir u Levatel Meyolov Kol Dinim. He says, to be Mevatel. I'm giving you a segula to be able to be Mevatel, to remove any type of din, any type, right? Any charge in Shemaim that seems to be against you. And there is the idea, the mid of justice, the mid of sadin seems to be going against you. Let's say there are people out to harm you. How can you mevatel? How can you destroy what other people are plotting against you? I'm giving you a segula, he says. To be mevatel ritzoynes acherim. There's a neighbor who mamish is waiting for an opportunity to destroy you. Or somebody else. So what is the yetzer? To block. What's the eser? To be protected. To be mevatel, to destroy and to ruin anybody's plans against you. They're trying to hurt you. This is this gula. If a person from is kaveya b'libay leimor, halay Hashem u'alekim u'amiti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the emes digo alekim. He is the true alekim. He is the true Lord. The enoid mevadoi yizbarach shum koich b'yoylom. If you firmly keep reviewing this and planting this in your mind, there's no other koyach, not in this world nor in any of the upper worlds. Ubechol olam is klal. V'hakol mole rak achdusoy haposhis boshmo. It's all filled. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence that permeates everywhere and everything. Mevatel b'liboy bitul gomer, and a person in his heart banishes any other foreign power. If you in your mind are mevatel. And if you are mevatel any other koyach, he says, and you commit and you purify your machshove, only to Baruch Hu, he's the only one. So you know what's going to happen? Because Baruch is going to respond to you. Cain, he says, Yaspik hu yizborach biyodoi. Baruch Hu will make available. Shememele yizbakl me'olav kol ha'koiches v'aritzoyni shebi'olav. Any power that seems to be against you, any rotzen, any will of anybody, of anything, they should not be able shayuchlu lifoi loy shum dover klau. No, these are the words of Reb Chaim Volozhin. Harei lonu bedivrei mo'or ho'olam. So we have here for one of the luminaries of the world, Reb Chaim Volozhin. You have his words, benifloy, the tremendous, amazing thing about bitochen. Va'oitzam koichoy, the tremendous power that bitochen has. Ubevada shechazonish leibol lachloy kalagrachim evolozhin. So can you imagine that the chazonish is going to be choylik, is going to argue on Reb Chaim Volozhin? He says, shedolo vehishka metoyrus rabbi agro. Whatever Reb Chaim Volozhin says, does not say from himself. He was mekabel from the goyin. And who can argue with the goyin? We can argue with the Vilna goyin. And the truth is, Ubem is Avach Zainish in a different kuntras, the kuntras al bitochen, he says, the Chazonish actually, in a different mokim actually, he says, Kosa, Yesh oid b'midas al bitochen, kel abiteach shoyre ruch ha-koydish. Chazon writes, it's shaykh that a person who is about bitochen, that he's zoichet to have the divine spirit ruch ha-koydish, umislavi moi, and that ruch ha-koydish escorts him to protect him. Ruach ois, a very powerful ruach, Hamavasreyu, and that ruach is going to inform him ki omnom yazreyu Hashem, that Hashem will help him. Meshoma Dovra Melech Olav Hashem. Dovra Melech says in Tehillim, im tachne la machne, doesn't make a difference if you have a machne against me. There's a whole army against me, lo yor libi. Dovra Melech says, I'm not going to be afraid. I don't fear them. Why? Im tokum alayim el chomo, bezois ani betech. Now, bitochen zera kodesh baruch hu. So here the Chazonish says that a person can be zoichet to be informed, right, through his koicha bitochen, that Hashem will help him. So bevadai shabiteach b'Hashem chesed yisoy bevenu. However, there's one nekuda, one small difference between Chazonish and the Sifrei Chasidus. There's one nekuda, a dak is a thin line that separates them. You know what that is? The following says it. Aval inyan zeh mischalef, he says, lefi malas habiteach veroiv kotshoy b'loshen Chazonish, which means the following: the Chazonish would agree that there's a level of being about bitochen that can be certain through his bitochen that Hashem will help. You know how? He's not just a Baal Bitochen. He's a tzaddik who is a Baal Bitochen. He's a person who is a tremendous personality. He's a great Oyver Hashem. A great Oyver Hashem who is a Baal Bitochen. That kind of a person, because he has such great milas, he's the mila to the Baal Bitochen. The Baal Bitochen himself is a great person. So if you have it, as the Loshen was, Lefi Milas Abiteach, he says, Veroiv Kotshoy. But the Sifrei Chasidus go on to say, goes a step further. Even if a person is not a tzaddik at all, but if you can find in his heart that person to be a gewaltige Baal Bitochen, the koyach Bitochen can override anything. This is the nekuda. Let's go further. Ugedoyla Chasidus Shalomdu. But the Gedoyla Chasidus Shalomdu Shalom Shabbatayach Bashem Nishmar Mikol Ro, Heim Dibru, they're speaking, Manoshim Shoim Dim, he says, no matter we're talking about B'mivchan O'Elyon. Tzadikim shebotchu b'kodesh baruch hu b'chol nimei libam. They are such great Baal B'tochen with all every fiber in the heart. He says the nafsham of the soul. This halchu, he says b'tziloi. They all wherever they walk under the shade of Hashem. B'tachirves alekim this gova u'kedusha b'madreges gevoyes. He walks with madreges gevoyes, tremendous madreges. Turn to the side, number three. Number three. Omnom, he says, the emes nechalku bazeh bedakus winyan. You'll find the fine line between the Chazaynish and the Gedol HaChassidus. The Lefi HaChazaynish told me madregezu b'malas habiteach v'roiv kotcher. You have to be a tremendous Baal Maile. You have to have a lot of Kedusha. And if you have a lot of Kedusha and you're a great Baal B'tochen, then you can have that security of being certain that Hashem is going to help you. L'das HaChassidus, Ein Adol B'Tolui, Elo B'Goyegu B'Tchoyne B'Hashem. The Minda B'Tochen alone is all-powerful. Wabemes, we find, Kvar Metzinu Mekoyeres Rabim L'Derech Zu, the Midas HaBitochen Meigino, the Midas HaBitochen protects our B'Teach L'Hatzilo Mikol Mazik and Mikol Nega, Af Shein Roi L'Kach. That which Chassidus proposes, promotes, that the Koyech HaBitochen does not have to be Dafki Gerson Baal Maile. That's where the Gedol HaChassidus have put in that extra element in the power of Bitochen. You may not be worthy about it, but the Koyach HaBitochen alone makes you worthy. The Koyach HaBitochen that you have, that alone makes you worthy. Let's take a look where we find that. So we find it with number one, Rabbi Yisai, and also one of the great philosophers, also one of the Kadmoinim, going back 5-6 centuries ago. Rabbi Yosef Albo wrote the Sefer HaIkarim, philosophical sefer where he debated, you know, non-believers of his time to show the authenticity of Torah. So he writes, I'm the sefer who you call him, and says, Ma'amar Dalet Perik Memvov. Okay, so going back, you say, you're going back now to Kadmoinim, going back to early times. B'Teach B'Hashem, the Pesuk says, whoever the B'Teach B'Hashem, Chesed is the venu, will be surrounded by Chesed. Kloy Mari says, you know what it means? Says the sefer Yikorim. Afim Ein Roi Mitzaratzmoy. Even if he's not worthy, Mitzaratzmoy, he says, Miderech HaBitochen, but what Bitochen has in its power, Miderech HaBitochen, Hamshi Chesed Chinom, Allah Boitchem Hashem. That's an amazing word that you see in the Sefer Yikorim. So in other words, you may be non-deserving. But if you have such trust and faith in Hashem, we have such trust and faith in Hashem, to that extent, said that that will make it happen. The Koyach HaBitochen will make it happen. With the word of Mufaroshim B'Yalkut. As a matter of fact, the words of the Sefer Yikorim can be found in the Medrash in the words of Chazal itself. Because the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Rabbi Machoivim L'Roshim, the Rishoyim have many, many pains, many tzaris, but Vabeteach B'Hashem, Chesed Yisoy V'Venu. What does that mean? This is not two separate things. It goes on the Rosha. Vabeteach B'Hashem goes on Rabbi Machoivim L'Roshim. Not Vabeteach, who's not a Rosha. Vabeteach goes on the Rosha. Reb Lezer, Reb Tamchum, B'Shem, Reb Yirmiyah, they said, Afil Rosha, Ubeteach, B'Hashem, Chesed Yisoy V'Venu. We also brought that Raya once for Reb Sosalanter as well. So others have said it as well, but upon this is the Lashon of the Yalkut. Harei Dein Hadover Tolu B'Maila Sabeteach. The Beteach doesn't have to be a big Baal Maila, some great tzaddik or something. El B'Goyidu B'Tchoyidu B'Hashem. What it does have to do is the extent of his Bitochen. And so on and so forth. So that again tells us the tremendous, tremendous powers of Bitochen. At least in the eyes of the Gedol HaChassidus, that the Baal Bitochen himself doesn't have to be such a great Baal Maile in every other area in his life. Yeah, I personally think that it's very hard to be a great Baal Bitochen if their whole life is not committed to Avodas Hashem. I'm not sure how you separate that as a Metzius, just speaking practically. But at the point the Nikudi here is being promoted, that if a person finds himself to really firmly, finds himself he trusts in Hashem, that alone makes him worthy. The question was, maybe he's not worthy. The midah bitochen, the fact that he has bitochen, bitochen alone is a ticket, and it's a key to open up the shiurim of rachamim for you. That's what we find out from the Gedol HaChassidus. Rabbi Yisrael, let's take a look here in the Chovos Halevavos. Time has moved on, very much so, actually. Let's take a look here. It's on Daf Reish Lamed Hey. If you have the regular Chovos Halevavos. Perek Dalet. Now, Reish Lamed Hey, it's 8 lines from the bottom. The Yesh Manig. The Yesh Manig Haboire, it says, Tarfei Rabim Ibn Yodam. So maybe just a small argument to what the Chovev Savov is trying to teach us here in the next few lines. There are people, because Shabbat B'Tochen, of course, talks about many, many things that people need. And they are challenged in their life, whether it's in the area of a livelihood, which is Parnosa, or it's in the area of health. Many, many things. Could be the area of Shiduchim, could be the area of the Nachas from one's children. These are all things that a person needs. And the person turns his direction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help him out. And he's mispaled HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Avodah Sodom is to be able to find in his heart to strengthen his Amun and be talking in that area. Now there are some people whose level of Parnosa is on a higher level, to the extent that not only the person sustains himself, but he actually happens to be a vehicle to give others Parnosa. That takes place in many ways. That could manifest itself either, maybe you have a business. So let's say you are an employer. So being that you're an employer, you are actually giving Parnosa to the people working for you. Sometimes it's in the form of distribution of tzedakah. There's a person who knows, let's say, there's 4 or 5 families, very, very needy. So on a weekly basis, he could afford it, yes. On a weekly basis, he makes sure that there is a check drop. The point is, we're talking now in these next few lines about a person who is being mefarnes acherim. He's supporting others. Whether by giving him a job, again, whether distribution of tzedakah. Because the Bible tells us that a person who is being mefarnes acherim, a person who is zoiche, because Baruch Hu gave him a bracha, he has a blessing that he's able to give parnosa to others, has to be worried about 3 things. He has to be worried and concerned about 3 things. Number one, the parnosa that Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving him and enabling him to be mefarnes others, that it should come in a righteous way. He should not secure the funds and the money that he is distributing or is bestowing upon others in crooked ways. There's sometimes a mistaken philosophy that the end justifies the means. That the end justifies the means. A person sometimes tells that I may have been successful in business, right, in not straight ways, but after all, I'm giving tzedakah from that money. This is the cheshem. It's the ma'aseh yetzer. By the way, Avraham Avinu, what does the pasuk say? Ki yodatim, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, and Rashi says, lo shechiba, ki yodatim means not I know him, ki yodatim, lo shechiba, I love him. Why do I love him? Laman, remember the pasuk, Laman ashi yitzave vizbono vizbeisa yachro, which means he's going to give them a Messiah, he's going to transmit. What does it say later? What is he going to teach them? What does it say later? Rashi yitzave vizbono vizachro, right? Last is tzedakah mishpat, vishomru derech Hashem. Vishomru derech Hashem means, it's not enough to be a shomer. It's not enough to do mitzvahs. But the derech Hashem, the road that leads you to do mitzvahs, should also be tzedakah v'mishpat. Lots of tzedakah v'mishpat is a great thing. But how? What's the road? How are you getting there? Sometimes you're doing things that are not appropriate. So lots of tzedakah v'mishpat, yes, but vishomru derech Hashem, the derech that leads you. Also best to be vishomru. But careful to see that the derech Hashem, the derech that leads, should also be on the derech of tzedakah v'mishpat, should be the right way. So the Bava is going to tell us here, the person thinks I'm being mefarnes others, so maybe it doesn't make a difference how I get the money, because I'm doing so much good with my money. So I said, no, it's wrong. If you are mefarnes acherim, don't let it creep into your idea in machshava that doesn't make a difference how you get the money. If you can't get it the other way, then just don't do it. Second thing to be worried about, he says, is that if you have extra to give and you're giving, you should give, he says, with an open heart. Some people give with an eye in Soros, not with an eye in Yofa. And there's the people who do, he gives to the doctor, but when you write out that check, they write it very mitzumtzendik, very limited fashion. Now a person should have a liberal heart. Should do it with an open heart. And then to see that the recipient who you're trying to be mezake, to see that he should also have a little bit more room. Not as, give him a little more if possible. Not just to be yoytze. Give him if he should be able to get by. And thirdly, and finally, he says, if you're mefarnes others, if you are giving parnosa to others, do not feel that you're superior to them. That's a very big danger. Not for me, you're making a cheshem. They wouldn't eat. Not for me, Where are they going to live? I'm superior. They should be subservient to me. They should look up to me. They should kneel to me, maybe. And so on and so forth. He says, even though you're doing all that good with other people, but be careful that you not become a balgaiv over them. Don't become arrogant over them. And treat them with respect and with covet. This is going to be the message in the next few lines that the Chovetz Chaim is telling you. So he starts out as follows. The Yeshi says, Shemanig HaBoire, he says, Tarfei Rabim. In some cases, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides it. Tarfei Rabim means, Tarfei means the panos, the livelihood. This is the word that he uses all the time, teres. He says, there's cases, there are situations that the Baruch Shalom, HaBoire, that the Baruch Shalom fear Tazoi Shemanig, the way the HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides it. That Tarfei Rabim, that the panos of others, right, Mibnei Yodom, Al Yidei Ish Echom Mehem. That the panos of others, the livelihood of others, is through one person. It's through one person. So he says, first of all, why did the Kabbalah maybe choose you? Well, he says, you have to know that this is a test. Because it's testing you. What's going to test you? To say, first of all, if I have given you that extra bracha, that bracha Hashem, you could afford much more than you need, are you really going to utilize it for the right purposes? Are you going to use everything you have only for yourself? Ashiras is a test. Because Baruch Hu gives bracha to a person is a test. And if you have the ability to give panos to others, because Baruch Hu is testing you to see, in fact, if you are going to do the right thing with that which He has given you. He says, Lahavchin bozeh avidoso lilikim. This should be the havchone. The extra money that is given you should be a test how you serve Hashem, maham roisoy, or maybe rebelling against Him. Maham roisoy means to rebel against Him. The yosim ezeh. And this becomes, this idea, when Kosh Baruch Hu gives you all that extra, this becomes, min ha-sibois ha-chazokas, shebe-sibois ha-nisoyed. This is a very difficult test, he says, from all the different tests. It's a very difficult test because the person thinks he owns the money that he has. Imam Babus. He doesn't realize it's on loan. It's on loan. But it's a big nisoyed, it's a big test. He says, from all the ha-sosoloi. In other words, the person becomes persuaded very, very strongly. To feel that what? That why should I share? And, you know, there's also an attitude. You know, a person thinks it's not easy. Even a person, let's say, with Baruch Hashem, very successful, but he worked hard. Many times, so somebody knocks on the door. He says, "Listen," he says, "same way do I work hard. You also got to work hard." I'm not saying a person shouldn't work, but he works. Some people made the time sheet. They were not matzliach. So the idea is, a person should understand that this is an assignment that Kadosh Baruch Hu is given to see how he's going to treat it. And he points out, because the truth is that when you have extra that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you bracha, you have to realize in the same that other people really are dependent on you. They're dependent on you in the same way as he points out, Kimelech, imagine a king. Everybody knows a king, of course. His subjects are dependent on him, that we know. But the melech has all the affordability. So it's in the same way that a melech shuhu matrif chayla davodov. The same way that a melech who supports his army and his servants, the chen hasorim, then you have the high officials. And then you have the roye pnei ha-melech. Then you have the ministers of the state. Then you have the hasganim, you have the deputies. Ajasivoyseyem, right, where they're surrounded with. You have all the different subjects and sub-subjects, right? You have kitois, you have all the different groups, ma'avdeyem of the servants, the shamsheyem and the attendants, ufkideyem and the officials, the noshim, ukrevim, women and relatives, umishtadlin bavuron, right? And the melech has people who are mishtadl to make sure that all the people that are surrounded in the service of the king, that they have what they need. Right? Umishtadlin bavuron, and the melech has people around him who are mishtadl to see that those who are around him, lechazer al sibris kibbutz hamomim, right? The idea is to make sure that there are the means to be able, right, to get, collect the funds together. Niponim toivim veroim. He says, now, he points out to say this. What do you point to him? He says, the king, he says, sometimes doesn't do it the right way. Could be from the right means, Niponim toivim veroim. But he says, but you as a person, as he's going to point out, is going to be there for a test. Because the king, you know, has to meet his budget. he's going to get his money. He said, that's what he says, Niponim toivim veroim. They can do it. He has to. But you also have an achrayis, but your achrayis is, it should come from the right way. It's going to be a test of the money that you get, Mavoides alakim, or Mahamroisai, it's going to be. So he says, but a foolish person does not see that. A person who is foolish, yite b'shloish upon him. A foolish person will make a mistake, he says, on three accounts. What are the three accounts? The three accounts are as follows, he says. Echol mehem, he says, Torah number one. A foolish person. Torah number one is this. What's from? First of all, Bikovtzei Hamomim. How does he gather his money? A foolish person, he doesn't realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed you're going to make kach v'kach this year. You'll make it on the Elcha way too. But the foolish person wants to acquire that which was nigzam in Hashemayim. He's going to get it, he says, even through means which are unjust, which are megunim, shameful acts, v'royim, bad ways. The Elohim Mavakish Oisoi, he says, Al Esnov. And the truth is, had he searched for his panos, he says, the right way, he also would have reached it. And would have gained two things. Not only would he have his panos, but toirosoi voilomoi. He would have his toira, he would have his religious affairs in order, his worldly affairs, which we alpi toira properly. We wouldn't have any less. But it's the foolish person who thinks, if I'm not going to do this, right? If I'm going to do this crooked act, I'm going to have less. That's choice number one, Bahasochal. He says, that's what the foolish person makes. Hashemi. He says, and the second mistake is, Kuchayshev. Because he thinks, Shekoma Shegiyah Elov Min Amomon, he says, Uteret Mezoinen. Second mistake the foolish person makes is, he thinks that everything that he earns is for his own maintenance. He doesn't understand, because Baruch Hu gave him extra money as a pikkudim, which means that he has to share with others as well. So he's making, he says, matter of fact, he says, look what he says, he thinks that everything that he received, he says, uteret mezoinoi, he thinks it's for his own livelihood. It's for his own self. And he doesn't understand, ki ateret mischalik l'shloshi chalokim. There are three types of income. The foolish person doesn't understand that the teret is mischalik l'shloshi chalokim, there are three types of income. Echol mehem, one of course is teret mezoinoi. There's one type of income that a person can have is for his own livelihood. Because Baruch Hu gives him exactly what he needs. He doesn't have too much extra at all. That's teref mezoinoi. The hu kalkolos gufei bilvad. That is the sustenance that he needs for his own person. And that sustenance, everybody has a secure gzeirim in the shemaim. The hu hamuftach min olekim l'chol asher bo yeru achayim. Every living creature, atach l'shom till the end of his days. Some people have to work harder for it, but then there's another type of income where Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you more. Teret mozoin zulosoi. Not only gives for you, but he gives you mozoin zulosoi. He gives you sustenance and maintenance for others. He gives enough for you for others. May you share ubanim to support a wife and children, vavodim and servants, umisharsim, right? And you have attendants, vadoim alohem, and similar to that. That you're going to have extra to be able to give to others, not every person is guaranteed. Because Baruch Hu guarantees a person with a daf azich, tusiyed reine. But to have excessive, to be able, right, to also to support others under you, that lav davke. Ve'inene muftach min olikim l'chol habruim, el lezgula mehem. Lezgula means is, there is a select people, betunayim yuchodim, but it's based upon certain conditions who only Kodesh Baruch Hu knows. In other words, no one can dictate exactly, he says, who it's going to be, what Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to give, more or less. V'hu mikrim izdamen be'isachas, it may happen at one time, ve'im izdamen be'isacheres, may not happen again a second time. Kifi shemechayvois halichois dinei haboire, it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's din, min ha-chesed va-mishpot, Kodesh Baruch Hu decides, and he has his cheshbonos. Kodesh Baruch Hu. Then there's a third type of income. Vashlishi, a third type of income is where a person makes so much, which possibly he can't even spend it all. If he lived 10 lifetimes, he can't spend it all, but he doesn't realize, doesn't chap it. He has the desire to keep amassing more and more and more. And the end of the day is, either he'll be robbed from that, the end of the day is, he's going to die, he's going to leave it over to some heirs or to others, as he points out. Vashlishi, teref kinyan. Teref kinyan means sustenance of kinyan, of hoarding, of collecting, of gathering, of acquiring. That talking about you're reaching a certain level, you're reaching a bar where there's absolutely no tellers. You have nothing from it. But yet a person that's such a sensitivity to money, he watches over it and he worries about it. Even though he had gunish defin. He had nothing from it. He watches it and preserves it and supervises it. Ad till the point is Asha Yerishenu Luzolosoi. At the end of the day, he's going to bequeath it to others. He's not going to have it. Or something will happen, he's going to lose it. Maybe the whole stock market will go down. Who knows where he invested it in? His real estate, whatever. Right? But the Na'arisha person, he says, but the Na'arisha person thinks that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him is for him all to spend, all to keep for himself. The Na'arisha mentions Yachshev, he thinks, Kol Asher Gozer Lo HaBoyer in a moment, Shutev Mezoyin, he doesn't understand because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an extra to do good in the world. He doesn't have that. He doesn't understand. So therefore he's eager to collect more, he's eager to make more. Eager, mommy, she rushes, he breaks his back. What are you doing this for? For yourself? You have nothing from it. And does all types of pulis. The Efsher, he says, at the end of the day, look what he says, it was a moshel. She yekapseno lebal ishto yachrov. It means maybe your wife's next husband may enjoy it. He's giving you such a moshel. Maybe your wife's next husband. I don't think that's what he's waiting for. That's what he wants. He says, ulechorgoy, there's a girsa over here. Ulechorgoy, which means, or to a stepson. Means his wife marries again, has another child. So be her son, ul yarshin it. He's from Yosef. Or ulegodl shebesoinov. Imagine. Or his worst enemy. You never know how this sounds out. So again, so this is the chavis of all. Just we have to stop here. Again, giving just a little bit of an idea of to understand how to utilize the brachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, and to understand again that how to deal with it, and of course to understand where it's coming from. There's a chavis. Where's it? Two more minutes. Let me mention the following situation. There was a family of a bocher going out with a particular bocher's name was the Rotner. Bocher's name was Rotner. And he was involved in a shidduch with a particular girl. A time came that it was getting pretty much serious. Turns out that the boy had met the girl's parents many, many times. He came to the home, but her parents never met his parents. So everyone agreed that the time is now, that her parents should also meet his parents. After all, it's getting very, very close to the shidduch. And so on. His name was Rutner, her last name was Becker. So it turns out that the Rutners and the Beckers decided they would meet somewhere in a restaurant, somewhere in the Upper West Side. The point at night, so the two couples, they met over dinner, and they usually start talking about who their acquaintances are, who do you know, where do you know, where did you grow up with, who are your neighbors. I think they call that Jewish geography. And soon enough, it comes out very, very closely, comes out that they share many, many acquaintances, right, very many common acquaintances, and it turns out that the Mrs. Rutner, the mother of the boy, and Mrs. Becker, that the mother of the girl, they felt that they met once before, but they could not put the finger on it, where they had met. But something told them when they met now that they really met. And so when they began talking, that their respective, interesting things, their respective fathers, in others, the Mechotonim still had parents, or their grandparents there, that their respective fathers put the pieces together. Turns out that 10 years earlier, Reb Shimon was the father of this Mrs. Rutner, who was Mrs. Rutner, the mother of the boy, right? So this Reb Shimon was rushed to a hospital in New York, and she had a serious heart attack. He remained in the hospital there for a while, and his health was really under watch to see what's going to happen with him. So his daughter, which is Mrs. Rutner, came often to visit him, and this Reb Shimon had a roommate. Reb Shimon had a roommate in the hospital, became very friendly with. This name is quite familiar. His name is Remailach Rubin, who is related to the Bava Rebbe, Shloime, to the Bava Rebbe, Remailach Rubin. He was also there in the hospital at the same time. And his daughter, Mrs. Becker, came. So the two daughters of the two patients. So Mrs. Rutner was the daughter of Reb Shimon, and Mrs. Becker was the daughter of Reb Meilich Rubin. So she came, and then that's how they met. Interesting thing is, now it's already 10 years later. And they realized that's why they had the notion that they somehow knew each other, was something that happened 10 years back. And they were thinking themselves about what a coincidence it says that their parents are no longer here. Nishul Malach Rubin was alive anymore, nor was the other one alive, Reb Shimon alive, that they should meet again, but this time would be under happier circumstances. A few days later, this Mrs. Rutner speaks with her mother, and she tells her that the Mechatenista, which is Mrs. Becker, is the daughter of this late Reb Meilich Rubin. So she says, "You serious?" He said, because she didn't know that this was the new Mechatenis, who was the daughter of this Meilich Rubin. And she says, "I want you to tell you the following thing, what happened." He says, "When your father," he says, "when Reb Shimon was in the hospital, together right next," he said, "to Meilich Rubin, He says he was on a very strict diet. Reb Shimon was a very strict, he had a heart attack. It was a very strict diet. It was an extensive regimen of various medicines. And an afternoon, he was supposed to take a certain medicine. So his roommate, this Ramayla, gets up, he sits up in the bed, and he screams, and he says, "Don't take the medicine because it can kill you. You're taking the wrong thing." So he says, "You're wrong." He said, "How could it be?" He says, "This is the medicine I'm supposed to take. It's exactly what I'm supposed to take." And this Ramayla says, "Listen to me. I was watching what medications is you've been taking. The one in front of you can be harmful. Please at least ask a nurse," he says, "before you take it. I'm telling you, it can kill you. A person with your condition, it could kill you." So they called in the nurse, decided to look at the bottle of the medication, and her face turned ashen white. She said, "I don't know how it got here." She says, "Literally, this could have killed you." No, you can understand this. Rav Shimon was stunned. Of course, he was grateful to his Ramayla Rubin that he had actually saved his life. So Rav Shimon said to Ramayla, "Listen, I should really repay you for what you did, and at least get you a gift. You saved my life." Ramayla said, he says, "I don't need any gift from you," he says. "You don't owe me anything. I'm thrilled to be able to help you. Any eat. As a matter of fact," he says, "I'll tell you what you can do for me. Let you give me a bracha that both of us should be zeiche," he says, "that our ein klich should all both do good shiduchim." And sure enough, they married each other. This came out. It's a very, very interesting thing. So, again, Baruch Shalom, Fiyad Avel.